Please stand out of reverence for the gospel, recorded in Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 25, on page 1040 in our Pew Bibles. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, pass by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, about a day's wage was a denarii, or denarius, and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Some of us are wearing Band-Aids this morning as a confession that we have all been hurt. We can all see ourselves in that role of the man in Jesus' parable who is beaten and bruised and left for half dead. We have all heard words that have just cut us to the heart and left us bleeding and wounded. We have perhaps experienced abuse. Physical abuse, emotional abuse, or sexual abuse. And on the outside, we're still able to come to church and we look okay, but inside, you have been bruised and beaten and left for half dead. The Band-Aids just remind us that every one of us can take that role of the man beaten in the account of the Good Samaritan. And it's when we see ourselves in this picture in this way, we are better prepared to see the bruised and beaten among us. It's always surprising, you read a lesson countless times and then something new jumps out at you. This week, what jumped out at me as I read over this account was the fact that 3 times the text says he saw the man. The priest saw the man. The Levite saw the man. And the Samaritan saw the man. They all had that in common. They saw the one who was beaten and bruised. And that's where I'd like to start this morning. I would just like to ask, are we seeing the ones who are beaten and bruised and left for half dead around us? This past Sunday, as I opened up the paper, I was reminded of the beaten and bruised among us. There was a picture on page 2 of Jussie Smollett. Jussie is an actor who was beaten up, left with a noose around his neck because he was a black homosexual. He was literally beaten and bruised. A little farther into the paper was Chris Stroop. He is a scholar. He received a PhD from Stanford in modern Russian history. He is a professor at the University of South Florida. He is a product of Christian schools from kindergarten through 12th grade. And he is queer. And I don't mean to say that in a derogatory way. The LGBTQ community has reclaimed that word queer, a word that was so often used in a derogatory way. Now if somebody says, I am queer, she is simply saying, I reject those terminology of homosexual or heterosexual or bisexual. I reject all of them. And the reason why Chris was in the paper was he started a kind of a Twitter storm with hashtag expose Christian schools. As he talked about how even in Christian schools where he grew up, he was beaten and bruised. How sad it is, as I read through Mike Novotny's book, Gay and God, we'll be handing these out after the service to anybody who wants one. Mike Novotny is the new speaker for Time of Grace TV ministry. How sad that Mike was talking with a gay pastor in preparation for this book, and he said, Mike, for most gay people, the church is public enemy number one. In the course of this message series, we are going to talk about Bible passages that deal with homosexuality and heterosexuality. But if what God wrote is going to gain a hearing, we first need to be aware of the fact that we live in a world where people whom our God loved, right? God so loved the world. People whom our God loved and was willing to sacrifice his son for them. Those people have experienced, rather than love from us as Christians, that they have been bruised and beaten. So let's go back to the parable of the Good Samaritan. Why did Jesus tell this story? An expert in the law came to test Jesus. You know, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus asked him, what's the law say? And this expert in the law responds very well. Love God, love your neighbor. It's the same way that Jesus would respond much later in his ministry in Matthew chapter 22. That summarizes the whole law, love God and love your neighbor. But then this expert in the law asked a question, but who is my neighbor? Because you see, he was quoting from Leviticus chapter 19, where it says, don't seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. Perhaps that term neighbor is limited to the people who are our kind people. And so Jesus tells the story about a man who was beaten and bruised. No, that man was one of your people, our kind, for that Pharisee. And Jesus tells the story about the two church people who saw our kind of person lying on the side of the road and passed by. And I get why they passed by. They saw, but they were not really willing to take the risk, because who knows if those people who were robbed, who robbed this man, beaten and left for half dead, who knows, maybe he was still around. There was a risk. Maybe he was a trap. Maybe it was best to hustle by as fast as you can. And so the Levite and the priest both see this man who is our kind of person, but they are afraid to take the risk. Pass by on the other side. And then there's the Samaritan. Now, from the New Testament, you know that Samaritans were despised by the Jews. And so as the Samaritan comes down this road and he sees this Jewish person beaten up and left for half dead, this Samaritan, he saw this person who was different from him. This Samaritan not only had the good reason to pass by on the other side because of the risk, but also because that person lying there was the enemy. But the Samaritan saw the difference, but still loved this person, was willing to take the risk and pay the cost, to slow down his trip, to stay overnight, to give 2 days' wages, to make sure that this man was taken care of, and promised, I'll come back and make it right, whatever the cost is. He was willing to take the risk, pay the cost, even though he saw the difference. Go and do likewise. That's how Jesus ends the story. Go, do likewise. Was Jesus speaking to this Pharisee primarily to squeeze more love out of him? The first purpose of the law, and that's what this is, go and do likewise. The first purpose of the law is a mirror to reflect your guilt back to yourself. If you try harder and harder to go and do likewise, you will see your sin reflected back to you in this command, love your neighbor as yourself. I gained a new appreciation of this truth as someone on the ministerial team mentioned the Harvard Prejudice Test. You can Google it, Harvard Prejudice Test. It's the implicit project. They have 14 different tests that you can take. They take just a few minutes to just help you measure your own prejudice, your own immediate reaction to different kinds of people. Now, I've taken enough of these tests to assure you that there is one group of people that I have no prejudice against. White heterosexual males about 60 years old who are lousy in sports, who can't play an instrument, and who read Greek every day. All the rest of you, I am sorry. The tests all came back that I am at least moderately prejudiced. And we can laugh, but this is the way the sinful nature that we've inherited from Adam and Eve shows itself. That rather than treasuring every person in this world as somebody that God created and God loved, there is an instantaneous sense of prejudice, and that prejudice can be a racial prejudice, it can be an economic prejudice, it can be how somebody looks a prejudice, it can be prejudice towards sexual orientation. Who is your neighbor? Your neighbor is not only the people who are just like you. I appreciate the honesty of Pastor Novotny in his book, Gay and God. He confesses that his words and actions have left gay people bruised and beaten. And yet while he was looking in judgment on them, they could also look into his life and see the sins that he ignored. I appreciate his honesty because it's a confession that I am confident every one of us has to make. That's why I appreciate that I know the Good Samaritan. You see, the Good Samaritan in Jesus' story is more than just the character in this story. The Good Samaritan shows what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. And if that's really the picture of the Good Samaritan, then the perfect Good Samaritan is the Savior, who loved us as himself. Think of it. You and I were beaten and bruised. You and I haven't been beaten and bruised just by words. You and I have been beaten and bruised by a powerful spiritual enemy. If we believe that there is a God, according to God's word, then we also believe that there is this powerful personal enemy, Satan and his evil angels, who have led us into sin, and then they kick us when we're down and lead us to despise ourselves for the sins that we have committed. We have been beaten and bruised by an enemy more powerful than we. But Jesus, the Good Samaritan, sees the difference. He is different than our prison. We have been beaten and bruised. How often hasn't Satan led us to misuse God's name? If not, it comes out of our mouths, it comes into our heads. And Jesus is different. He lived to glorify God's name. Jesus came to do God's will, even if it meant death on the cross. How different we are when so very often we have to admit that our will and our pleasure takes precedence over God's will. Jesus certainly saw the difference, didn't he? But he was willing to take the risk and bear the cost. He was willing to step into our place, to be attacked by Satan. I think it's interesting that the very wilderness that Jesus is talking about, as people go down from Jerusalem to Jericho, they go through the same Judean wilderness where Jesus himself was tempted by Satan. Jesus was willing to take the risk to be tempted by Satan in every way, just as we are, so that he could offer God the perfect obedience that we couldn't. He was willing to pay the cost. Later on in the book, Mike talks about the rainbow. You know, the rainbow is a symbol of the LGBTQ community. And he says, what a great symbol that is for us as Christians to think about. Because a rainbow is called a bow because it looks like a bow and arrow bow, right? And which direction does that bow face? It's turned towards heaven. Who's going to have to pay the cost for our sins? We who are different than our God. It's not us. Jesus is all giving. I'll be beaten, and not just be left half dead, but die. In a few minutes, we're going to come up and we're going to receive Jesus' body and blood. And what is that except the Good Samaritan? Knowing how we have been beaten and bloodied by Satan himself, and giving us his body and blood to bind up and heal our wounds. We have experienced the love of the Good Shepherd. You and I were forgiven. We're forgiven for the prejudice that we have to admit comes out in ways that we maybe don't even realize. Forgive. Jesus paid the price. He loves us. And now the Good Samaritan says to us, go and do likewise. Not with compulsion, trying to force love out of us. But we who have experienced the love of the Good Samaritan, how can we not respond with that same kind of love to those who are different around us? Go and do likewise. Love your neighbor, your LGBTQ neighbor. I recall a devotion that I had with my fellow travelers in Israel a number of years ago. We had just been at the Yad Vashem Holocaust Museum. I'd been moved by images like this. This is a train car from Germany, a cattle car that had been used to transport Jews to their death. Hard to see how a whole community of people was beaten and bruised and put to death. Millions. And the next place we stopped was Ein Karem, which is a small little village not very far from Jerusalem, the traditional place where John the Baptist was born. And we went into the church, and there was a little side chapel, and we sat down there, and we had a devotion. And I was sitting in this chapel that was dedicated to the man who called, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near, the one who said, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And I saw my Jewish friend, my Jewish guy. And I just asked the people there, how many years, how many decades, how many centuries of Christian love will need to be shown to this Jewish nation so that when they think of Christians, they don't think of the horrors that they experience, but they instead think of love. and what was true that day in Israel is true for us today as well. We are going to talk about the truth of God's word for heterosexuals and homosexuals later on in this message series. We're convinced that God created this world, and our God has given us his commands not to harm us and to hinder us and to hem us in, but he knows how this world works the best. And we want people to experience life to the full. So we want to share the truth. But the truth won't gain any hearing unless we first love. Could we be the Christian community that shows the same kind of unconditional love to people no matter how different than they are from us? Just like we have experienced from our Good Samaritan. Could we be the first people who invite a gay couple who move into our community, into our neighborhood, invite them over for dinner? Could we be the family member who assures somebody who has just come out, "I love you"? Not, "I still love you," as though I'm doing you some kind of favor. No, "I love you." Could we be the classmate that says bullying of any kind has no place in our school? We are not going to let people who are different in any way be bullied. Could we be the coworker that makes sure that the lesbian coworker feels incredibly welcome in her new office space? Again, we aren't ignoring what God's word says. The opportunity to speak the truth in love may come sometime. But the first commandment is this: love your neighbor as yourself. Love even those who are different from us. That's the way Jesus loved us. And he says, "Go and do likewise." That's our call. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.